Hey everyone, I'm Mo.
And I'm J.O.
And you're listening to Mojo and the Outsiders podcast, brought to you by Backwoods Adventure Mods. Today we're talking with Jeff with YT Industries. We're going to talk about how he got his start there, what he's doing now, and some of the stuff that keeps him busy. What's up, everybody? Today we're sitting here with Jeff from YT. He's going to give us a little rundown on how he got started there, what he does for fun, and some stuff like that. So, Jeff, why don't you go ahead and get into it, man? Tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the things you like to do in your free time.
Right on. Well, hey, thanks for having me, guys. Been looking forward to sitting down with you guys and chatting. But yeah, so my name is Jeff. I work at YT Industries. I've been with the brand for about 6.5 years, going on 7 years. And we're running an operation here in Bentonville, northwestern Arkansas. It's called the YT Mill. It's our retail experience center. It gives us an opportunity to engage with people in the community and kind of show them what the brand's all about. But Definitely been a mountain biker for quite a long time. Been overlanding for probably the last decade or so. So, yeah, just like getting outside.
Yeah. What, as far as, did you start mountain biking? Because you're not from Arkansas, are you?
No. So I was born in Puerto Rico, raised in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And I used to ride bikes with my dad in the Virgin Islands. And we would ride trails by default because we weren't on the roads, but didn't really start mountain biking until we moved to California. We lived in Aliso Viejo, South Orange County, Southern California, and essentially as a 13-14 year old kid, I'd be out on the street on my BMX bike and I'd be like, man, like, why do all these neighbors have these rad bikes with shocks and disc brakes? And I'm like, yeah. I don't know what those shocks are, but they look expensive. And now in hindsight, it's like they all had sweet, specialized and intense bikes and all these crazy bikes. So yeah, we eventually got into it kind of by default and proximity. We lived a quarter mile from one of the best trailheads on the West Coast. So
you got to love when it happens like that. You know, I know when I got into overlanding, it was the same type of thing. You know, I opened up our public use maps and you see how much we have and kind of like you realize, you're like, dang, man, I'm so close to it, man. How'd I get so lucky? I mean, so you're doing that out in California. How long have you been here?
So my wife and I moved to Arkansas, coming up on a year pretty soon here. We landed December 31st at 6 p.m. So we celebrated the new year here. The very first thing I did was unload my stereo from my car, crack a bottle of wine with, moved next door to one of my friends on purpose, so that we would have friends as soon as we got here. And, we had a New Year's party at our house within the first 5 hours of moving here.
Holy cow.
It was awesome. Yeah.
Dude, you guys, waste no time. Yeah. Getting settled, right? The rest of that stuff can move in once you're done with the fun.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. And because I know you said you'd, you know, been raised in Puerto Rico and spent some time in the U.S. Virgin Islands. What brought y'all to California?
Yeah, so my dad works in manufacturing, actually. Yeah. He works more on the aerospace side. And there were in the 90s, there were a lot of tax incentives for companies to move down to the Virgin Islands, essentially trying to keep manufacturing on a U.S. territory.
Yeah.
And then some of those deals fell apart in the mid-2000s. And at that point, my dad got relocated within the same company just out to California. So we were following dad's work.
And yeah.
Yeah, we were kind of against it at first, but now looking back, it has defined who I am. So
yeah. Well, and that's lucky that you had that experience, you know, moving as a young child, because I imagine making that move from California to here probably made it a lot easier, I'd imagine.
Yeah, this place has been I love Arkansas. It's a real good happy medium to grow up on a tiny island where it's small town problems. You can drive in one direction for 5 hours and leave, you know, to a certain point.
Yeah.
We're on an island. You're very much landlocked.
Yeah.
So going from a small island to California where it's just like I mean, you finding a space to be alone, overlanding is the only way to get away.
Yeah.
Right. And then being here where it's like, okay, cool. Like it's a small town. We can leave and find solitude relatively quickly, but it's not overcrowded. So yeah, we're stoked.
I mean, that's awesome. That's awesome. I noticed you like to spend some of your time out in the outdoors and everything. Where did that like stem from?
My parents are super outdoorsy. My dad had several Volkswagen vans. They grew up kind of in that hippie era. He was a big time Volkswagen guy. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure I was conceived in a Volkswagen van, when my parents were listening to the Bee Gees. My dad's got all the stories of engine swaps, trail side services, all that good stuff. And now it's actually evolved to where he has a, Ford Econoline Sportsmobile.
Oh yeah.
Massive tires, massive. I mean, this thing is like it's a tank.
Yeah.
It is insane.
We've done some work with Sportsmobile, so we know exactly what kind of van you're talking about. And those are so good for out west where, you know, is he still out there?
Yeah, so they are in Southern California. They're about 2 hours from Anza Borrego, if you know where that is. So Anza Borrego, Ocotillo Wells, that is kind of the first destination on their list when they're out traveling. That's where they'll kind of explore.
So I'm not familiar with that area. Is that like a pretty wooded area or how?
It's very much the desert.
Really?
So Ocotillo Wells is like it's a really big, dirt bike destination.
Nice.
Big sand dunes. There's a lot of like canyon runs out there. So there's no, it's mostly cacti out there. Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
Ton of sand. Off-roading out there is awesome, in terms of it's less crawly, more pre-running type of situations. But it's a hybrid, right? I think a capable off-road vehicle can do both to some extent.
That's awesome.
Unfortunately, I'm in a independent front and rear suspension rig, so I don't do much crawling, so I fancy myself more of a rally overland driver, but
yeah.
Well, you checked on it, you know, it's like as long as it gets you out to away from the folks, man, it doesn't have to get you far up over the biggest hill, you know, just put you in a spot where not everybody's at, you know, and that's a win.
Yeah it's a nice thing out there is the city folk don't put much effort into getting lost, so you just need to put in a little bit more effort than them. And you'll really get out there. So
yeah. Speaking of that, that awesome vehicle you got, I saw it for the first time the other day. That awesome Montero, dude. Tell us about that thing. I love it.
Yeah man. Being from the Virgin Islands, you go to Puerto Rico. There's Monteros everywhere. Right. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Virgin Islands. It's kind of their forerunner, their version of that class of vehicle.
Yeah.
You don't see them here, but for me, it's such a regular vehicle to have because I grew up around them. It's 2024. In the year 2000, my parents test drove a 2000 Mitsubishi Montero. I remember riding in the third row. I'm 7, 8 years old at that time. And I'm thinking to myself, this car is super cool. You guys should buy this at the time. It was a second generation Montero. Mm-hmm. And I've been in a Montero essentially since then. That was my first car that I inherited from my mom, was that second gen Montero. And I just, like any irresponsible high schooler, just absolutely rallied that thing to the ground.
You have to, right? You got to know where its limits are.
Yeah.
That thing was super capable. At least the driver was at the time. I've got like some pretty hilarious memories on Facebook these days of like just absolutely mud bogging that car and then like handing it back over to mom so she can drive it to work. Being like, man, like if only they knew the things that I would do to that.
Yeah. Hope you got all the mud sprayed off before you turn the keys back over.
Yeah. And then I had a short period where I drove a Volvo, V70 wagon.
Oh yeah.
And
dude, that's J.O.'s dream machine, man. Oh, he's a sucker for a Volvo wagon.
One of the square ones, super, super capable vehicle. And then I got my third gen Montero in probably 2015, 2016. And it is, I have like pipe dreams of owning a truck one day, but honestly, this car just does everything that I need it to do.
Yeah.
And it is so, easy to maintain.
Yeah.
I've also become an expert in it over the last decade or so. So yeah. I'm just comfortable with it. It's kind of home for me. So, and I enjoy driving it. It's such a fun vehicle and gets me where I need to go. You know, yeah. I wish I had a little bit more articulation, more flex, but 2-inch lift, 33-inch tires, got some sliders, skid plates, did a Torsen LSD swap on the rear, so a re-gear from an older generation Montero.
Mm-hmm.
And those couple things have just really, they get me where I need to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude. We had a buddy, he was the same, he used to wheel one of those, and it's funny, the articulation, that's the one thing I remember about him wheeling it, you know, is that it always wanted to be up on three wheels, you know, mm-hmm. you know, no matter what the obstacle was, you know, that front tire would lift. And then as it got enough weight on the Ford, that rear tire would lift, you know. So other than the articulation, though, I mean, those things will kind of go where you point them, you know, and you kind of mentioned it earlier, you know, but they're used all around the world. You see them out, you know, in other countries and stuff like that. So definitely a capable vehicle. Hard to get stuff for them in the U.S. is what it seems like, you know, but I know there's forums out there that seem like they have all the knowledge.
Yeah, it's definitely a shout out to this guy, Marco over at Lusso Overland. He is one of the few distributors mm-hmm. in North America. Yeah. He's got all the good stuff. And I have called this guy countless times, just Marco, hey, like I got this issue, and he's the expert, small business, but he supports the entire Montero community in North America. So
I mean, the fact that you can get them on the phone, like that's amazing. You know, some of these folks you can't get on the phone, they may not even list a phone number. So
yeah,
those are definitely awesome things.
Yeah, that Montero, have you had a chance to take it out to the Ozarks at all yet?
Oh man, so I have not. I've been fishing more than anything since moving out here.
Nothing matter with that.
Yeah.
And we have a creek spot where we'll go and off-road a little bit to get to the creek. And mm-hmm. my very first time, day one, off-roading in northwestern Arkansas, I got completely bogged down to the rails.
Sounds
and
right.
It was just like I pride myself in my car is in the desert. It does not get stuck. Like the four-wheel drive system is designed for Dakar rally. Like it's a sand rally racer.
Yeah.
So it handles that really well, but I do not know how to drive in mud. And it was immediately, yeah, essentially I had pulled a trailer across the country and I had one of those three ball hitches on it.
Oh yeah.
And one of the balls pointing down and I essentially hooked myself into the ground and
just dragged
myself in and immediately I was in Crocs and just walking around in mud. I was so embarrassing.
Oh, dude, you're always, anytime you're going to get stuck, man, you're going to have the wrong footwear on. Same thing happened to me out in Arizona. A buddy of mine got stuck in the snow. Same, I jumped out in my Chacos, you know, and I mean, next thing I'm like, dude, what am I doing? You know, trying to fish this thing with the wrong footwear.
Yeah, I got rescued by a Nissan and I was like, man, this sucks.
Dude, the low point in the Montero's life when the Nissan hooked to it, right? I bet you tried and tried, like, no, man, I got it. Yeah, no, man, I got it.
I called my buddy Brett, and I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry for bugging you. He's like, no. He's like, I love doing truck stuff. And I was like, oh, man, I'm not going to hear the end of this.
Right. And, I mean, that's a truck thing for sure.
What is the Montero's, like, biggest competitor? You know, like, Toyota has Jeep, you know, Ford has Chevrolet. What's Mitsubishi's?
Oh man, that's a tough question. I don't think there's any Jeep competition. Yeah. I don't think Montero owners really respect Jeep owners all that much. But I think that's like anybody in the Japanese Overland community.
Yeah.
I'd say Toyota. I would say it's most because everybody that has a Montero wishes it was a Land Cruiser.
Oh yeah.
It is, and this may not be PC, but it's the poor man's Land Cruiser. Yeah. Essentially.
Yeah, I was gonna say the poor man's Prado, man.
Full on. Yeah. It's Yeah, so, yeah, I wish it was a Land Cruiser, and I know that as soon as I say that, I'm going to leave here and have some sort of check engine light or something come on, but that's all right.
Dude, it won't let you down. It won't let you down. You know that. Tried and true. Just keep putting fluids in them. They'll keep running.
Yeah, I just keep on clearing the check engine lights, and she's good.
Right. Yeah. Now she's running right now. Just cleared that code.
Yeah.
So since moving here, I mean, as far as, like, mountain bikes, how would you say, like, the biking community here differs, you know, back home?
Like the comparisons between the two.
Yeah. This place is casual. It's, I think it stems beyond the writing community. I think everybody here is so accepting and friendly and polite and, non-judgmental. I think it's a lot easier to get into a new, sport or, you know, it's easier to pick up a new hobby here because everybody's so welcoming. We're in SoCal. It's a really great community. But everyone takes it really serious. I think a lot of people, fancy themselves as a borderline professional athlete. And it's like, I just got to take back and be like, brother, this is,
yeah,
it's a mountain bike ride. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need to freak out over the fact that your Strava glitched out. Like, like there's zero people care that you had the best run of your life and you forgot to record it.
Nobody's checking your gold medals. Like, nobody's peeping your PRs.
Yeah. So not trying to badmouth them on the West Coast, because it's the environment that I grew up in. But it's just way more relaxed here.
I mean, it's all we know, you know, so we didn't grow up out there and stuff. So all we have is the base off is where we grew up. And it's always seemed like what you said, you know, it is super inviting. You know, there's multiple group rides, different clubs you can join. You know, the Women of Oz, you can get women involved, you know, stuff like that. So it seems like there's a group for every level of riding, you know, so it's like, and you'll find your people at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. Super, super inviting here. And, there's really, really big events in California that bring a lot of cyclists together. Part of me wonders if it's the volume of cyclists. There's a lot of riders per the amount of trails, where here it's the opposite.
Yeah.
It's kind of why surfing in SoCal can be kind of stressful. There's more surfers than waves.
Yeah.
Where here, on any day of the week, you can find yourself alone on a trail. And you can rip at your own speed and don't have to worry about someone running you over or ruining someone's Strava time, you know?
No. Yeah. Oh, if you can go through the week, like you said, you may see, you know, 5-6 people out on a trail, you know, the weekends, you may double that and stuff like that. But it's like what you're saying, you know, if you want to find a trail that's a little more, you know, less crowded, they're here.
Yeah, I think we're being outdoor enthusiasts like that. We're nomadic in the sense that we're always trying to get away.
Yeah.
From people, and like doing something that is fun typically involves getting away from that crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and biking's always one of those things too, whether you had a good day, a bad day, you know, you jump on the bike, man, and it's just all about what's in front of you. You're not focused on whether you got cussed out at work or whatever, you know, it's just all about the ride, you know. So very fortunate to have the trails we have around here.
Yeah, you guys are having some pretty heavy duty days at Backwoods, huh?
Oh, dude, that ain't me, but hey, JO can attest to it, man. Not every customer who calls is happy with how something worked, you know. We're humans like the rest, so to say we don't make mistakes would be a lie, you know. But the one thing we do a great job at is, and Chris allows us to do this, is we can stand behind our product like nobody else in this industry. I can say that and feel confident saying that, because if we messed up, error on our part, and we've got the part, next day air, you'll have it, you know.
Yeah.
Whether it be a roof rack, we've sent out free bumpers to people. Like I said, we just want people to be 100% satisfied at the end of the day with their purchase. So not very many bad days here. Like I said, every now and then you get somebody who wants to come through the phone, or they'll send you a nasty email. But once you get them on the phone, they can hear the sincerity in your voice. They know that you didn't do it on purpose. You're not trying to ruin their day. I mean, a lot of times you can just comb it over like that.
Yeah. Most days it's pretty laid back, but yeah, Mo's probably seen me have a panic attack or two, you know, just when stuff doesn't go right. But you know, at the same time, I'm like, I'm glad that I feel that way. You know, it's like, I'd rather, you know, care so much about my job that it like really causes me to kind of freak out than not care at all. So yeah, what, I mean,
all three of us in this room all probably came from the same spot. You know, you're probably a consumer before you worked in the industry.
Exactly.
We were the same. And so we always treat people with how we would want to be treated if we were to call a company and talk about an issue, you know. So that's the most we can do. And it's probably why we're all, you know, pretty decent at what we do.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it's part of the industry. Just like we're selling luxury items.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like, it's fun, it's enjoyable, and you're passionate about what you do. It's easy to show up to work every day, but I think from the consumer side, Some people overextend themselves a little bit on luxury items, and that's I think where that I'll deal with. So I work, I'm the manager of the technical service department. So we'll get people with brand new bikes that have an issue XYZ, whatever it may be. And it's just first and foremost, I let them know like, hey, this is a mechanical thing. Human beings, built this, nobody's perfect. Like, but we're here to help you with that. And I think that what I always try to instill into anybody is just make sure you're supporting brands that, will support you after the fact. Right.
Oh my gosh.
Every product is prone to issues, whatever it may be, big or small, but just make sure you're going to get that support after the fact.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've had multiple people call us, you know, and they're thankful to get a real human on the other end of the line. You know, you don't have to navigate a big operator thing or talk to a robot for 5 minutes or just keep saying, you know, put me through the operator. You know, you're going to talk to a human eventually. You brought up your job at YT. How did you get your start there? You know, surely you didn't start out as the man.
So I've been in the bike industry for 12 years now, officially, maybe 13 years. I've only ever been in the bike industry. I don't know anything else. I'm a bike shop guy through and through. I've had three jobs, technically, being at YT for almost 7 years now. But I got hired on initially. I worked in marketing and events. Mm-hmm. So we have this program called the Rolling Circus. So for the listeners that aren't aware, YT Industries is a consumer direct model, meaning that you can purchase our product, being YT bikes, online. But we don't, at the time, we did not physically have a location that you could stop by and look at the bikes. The best sales tool was selling bikes, so that typically we would see the sales pattern go with groups of riders. One rider would buy one, their friend would say, hey, that bike is rad, I'm gonna also get one. You know, so the Rolling Circus was essentially a traveling demo team. And we would hit all the big bike festivals, have some of our own events where we were the festival, just our crew. But we had a Sprinter van loaded up with 25, 30 bikes and
big demo set.
Oh my goodness. It was years of just partying. The slogan for the company is good time. So it was like we worked really, really hard from 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. And then as soon as we were done doing demos, we would just party. And it's cool looking at the organization now, YT North America, and seeing where the team has come from. Employee retention is insanely good. So I look around at most of my coworkers, and most of the people have been there for 4, 5, 6 years. Started in marketing,
That's awesome.
Doing events as a mechanic, and then COVID hit, kind of pivoted into warranty, so customer care type of work. Introduced like a cool video conferencing mechanic help type of program. So if somebody had an issue, I would video call them and kind of walk them through the technical support of that.
Nice.
And then this Bentonville project has been on my radar for years. We were supposed to be out here during COVID, and then COVID kind of put a little bit of a damper on that.
Yeah.
Which honestly, it really helped me out a ton. I was into a somewhat new relationship with my now wife, and I don't know if things would have panned out if we would have relocated at that time. So,
yeah,
you know, things happen for a reason. So,
I didn't know the mill had been like that long in the planning. But I mean, the facility you guys have is amazing. I know when I was looking for a bike and I saw that you guys had one, and the demo, man, it worked just like you guys draw it up, man. I went in there, threw my leg over one, probably a few days later, placed my order, you know, so it's super cool. The way you guys do things and super inviting, you know, you walk in, you're friendly, your whole team's friendly, you know, whether it be Chris, Casey, BJ, you know, it's like everybody is just top notch. You feel welcome as soon as you walk through the door, whether you've been riding for years or it's your first time into a bike shop. You know, it's like you guys just welcome them in, open arms, and help them try and, you know, figure out what they need. You're not just trying to throw them on a bike just to sell a bike. You know, you want them to be happy with what they're going home with in the long run, right? You know, or else you probably have to hear about it.
Yeah, we're we're trying to be everything that a bike shop is not.
Yeah.
And because of the structure of our business and organization, we don't, to say that we're not sales oriented, it would be a straight up lie, but it's not, it's not something that, when someone walks in the front door, we're not, we don't see them as a bike sale. We see it as like a, we take a moment to educate them and let them know what we're all about, why we do what we do and how we do it. And if they like it, we get along, they think the product is cool, and it's like, all right, then let's figure out, you know, kind of where you fit in within the product line and get you on a bike. It's just a matter of being inviting and having an interest in getting people on bikes versus selling them your product, just getting them into cycling in general.
Well, I know you guys have done multiple group rides, you know, just in the short time I've known you. I think y'all have already done, you know, four Saturday rides that y'all put together. You know, they leave from the mill at 10 a.m. You go out and rip and have a good time with everybody. Come back. Sometimes you're cooking. Sometimes it's just chilling back at the mill, you know, maybe sucking on a coldie. But, you know, it's always a good time.
Yeah, it's been cool, kind of like we're a big operation in town, and we're doing things way differently than most other people in town. But I was not expecting the wave of, I don't really know how else to say it besides like, I it feels like people think we're cool, you know?
Yeah. Facts. I'm one of those people.
Me too, man.
Yeah. It's been rad.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like first time walking in the mill, you know, like Mo said, it's just super inviting and all that. And cause like, I'll tell you, dude, I don't know just a ton about bikes. I know that I like riding them, you know, but I couldn't tell you like every little component or, you know, what brand it is and anything like that. And it's, you know, normally going into a bike shop, a lot of times they make you feel just kind of stupid, you know, I guess. And I didn't get that from you guys at all. I mean, at all. It was just walking in, everybody's just like, hey, what's up? Do you even bike? And you know, it's yes or no, doesn't really matter. I mean, they're there to hang out and have fun no matter what. So yeah, I mean, that's awesome.
Thanks. That means a lot. We pride ourselves in that. And hearing that really means a lot. We've been, it's obviously, it's a really big project for us.
Yeah.
And we could not have found people that are more passionate if we tried. Like, we got so lucky with the team that we have, and everyone just falls into place perfectly.
How many folks are on like the YT team or North America team or that work at the mill? You know, it's like, I know you have two locations in the U.S.
The fact that
one landed in Bentonville is amazing.
Yeah. So we've got, so I guess a little bit of backstory there. So the company was founded in 2008, in Germany. So our headquarters is in Germany. And we have a location in the UK, and then the North American headquarters is based in San Clemente down in Southern California. There is a mill location there. That mill opened in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And then this being kind of our flagship retail location in North America.
Yeah.
Our team here is in the lower teens.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I probably shouldn't tell you guys how large the company is in California. But, you know, it is. I can't say that it is. It's much smaller than you would think.
Really?
You know, you look around and think to yourself, much like Backwoods, right? You guys have this massive presence. And then I meet you guys and I'm like, oh, like, this is you guys? That's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, so rad. But I think that's cool for a company, though, because if there's less people, the voices of the employees are heard.
Yeah.
And they can make a change and really drive the direction of the company.
Well, so. It's like easier to steer, you know, 10 people in one direction than to steer 100 people in one direction. You know, it's like you're saying, you know, less is sometimes more if they're all on the same, you know, drive and trying to get to the same goal. You know, it's like, man, you want that group. You know, they're all working together. You know, the numbers don't matter. You're going to reach that end goal over time.
Yeah. Do you guys have much of a hand as far as like the designs of the bikes, changing like geometry or anything like that? Or
yeah, so all of the design and engineering happens in Germany, and then we provide a lot of feedback from the North American side. We have a very large market share here, so as far as units that are being ridden, abused, broken, you know, we've seen. You know, I can for sure tell you that it doesn't matter the brand of the bike. If you have it on a roof rack and you forget to pull it off your roof rack and you drive into a parking structure, it will break.
Yeah.
But you know, we do down to the entry level positions at YT, we are sharing information on every single case that we touch. So, you know, we may not be providing exact input on what we wish the head tube angle was, but they will hear us out.
Yeah.
And information is pretty shared among the organization. So,
well, that's cool that nobody's like kept in the dark and everybody's kind of on the same page, knows what's coming downhill and what's heading their way. And that way, when it shows up, right, nobody's surprised. You don't have to explain why you did it this way or that way. You know, everybody's kind of in the know.
Yeah. As far as this is a question I was thinking about earlier. So with y'all demoing a bunch of bikes, definitely know you do that. What is the absolute worst you've seen a bike come back?
Oh, from a demo ride?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You got to give them the quote that you kept saying, right?
Yeah,
Don't be gentle. It's a rental.
Yeah. It's like, you know, we want people to ride the bikes as they would their own.
Yeah.
Right. So whether that means riding it around the corner and hanging out at the bar, which we've seen, just like you signed up for a 2-hour demo to ride a quarter mile to drink a couple beers and, you know, hey, if that's what you want to purchase a bike for and that, you know, you need to see yourself on it like that, then that might be the best sales tool. Oh man, there's been some, I think that people, our bikes are super well maintained and very high quality, and you jump into a sports car, you're going to want to drive it fast. That definitely happens with our demos. And we've had a couple, you know, people think that they can send it a little bit bigger on a jump. I don't understand why someone would want to try a new jump on a bike that's brand new to them, but it does happen. But you'd be surprised. We haven't had any really catastrophic failures, mostly wheels and derailleurs. And,
yeah.
Every now and then we'll catch a video of one of the local Groms skidding our tires, and it's like, oh man, like they don't realize that these mountain bike tires are violently expensive.
Yeah.
But it's all in good fun, and yeah.
I say wouldn't trade it, right? I mean, it's like, dude, go out there. I know watching you on this last ride we did, there was a guy on a bike and he came around and just super low geared, and he tried to grab maybe 5-6 gears at once, dude. And it sounded like that rear cassette was about to explode, as well as your head when I looked at you. You know?
It's we try to educate, you know, everybody has room to grow and
absolutely.
There's so many brand new cyclists, and they can't wrap their head around the fact that this expensive piece of equipment is very high tolerance and things need to work a certain way. it's a toy, you know, at the end of the day. I think people forget that it's a high piece of technology. So
yeah.
They do need to be maintained.
Yeah, you want everything working as designed, you know, for you to get the best out of that thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, so for your style of riding, this is a segment we always do. It's called Start One, Cut One, Bench One, okay?
Okay.
So this is just for your style of riding.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Start One, Cut One, Bench One. The Capra, all right, the Izzo, or the Jeffsy?
So I need to start on one, bench on one, and get one completely. So the bench one I'm just saving for later.
No, so you're gonna start one. This is your everyday rider. You're gonna bench one. That would be your, maybe I'll ride it every now and then. Your cut one is the one that it's not in the fleet. It's not in your fleet.
Oh man, that's
and this
tough.
This is for
that's
your
tough
style
because
of riding.
All three of them are in my fleet. This is a loaded question.
Well,
man.
We knew it'd be tough.
Oh man, I've been an Izzo and a Capra rider for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Our brand new Jeffsy is insane, and that'll be my start one.
Yeah.
I haven't owned one yet. I've put quite a few miles on it, and it sounds like a sales pitch, but every time we come out with a new bike, it's the best freaking bike you've ever ridden.
Yeah.
But
those
the
are
new
facts.
Dude, the new Jeffsy, it climbs, it does not climb better than the Izzo, but it is so comfortable when you're climbing that I'm okay going slower, being comfortable. I can pull longer distances. The in-frame storage on the new Jeffsy is, it's awesome, man. Like if you could probably fit 12 granola bars in the frame if you really wanted to, and a bike tube and a jacket. But yeah, I would definitely start Jeffsy. Gotta bench the Capra because there are certain days where you need the trophy truck.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain situations. there's certain situations where that bike will come through and really save you. Like Leatherwood out here, I had a couple moments where I was like, man, if I wasn't riding this Capra, I would be miserable or potentially broken.
Yeah.
And then I guess I'd cut the Izzo, which it hurts me to say that because the Izzo is my favorite bike that I've ever had.
Really?
Ever. It's part of growth, yeah, though, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, man, that's just a testament to how good the other two are.
Yeah.
You know? It's not that the Izzo is bad. It's just that the other two are that good.
I'm like, man, you got to end up having to cut the one that's your favorite. But yeah. I mean, that makes sense, though.
Just trying to be realistic. The Izzo, I am the fastest on the Izzo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I want to be a Strava.
Right. Checking gold medals.
Yeah, man. The Izzo, I am so fast on it. Even descending. It is an absolute weapon, but the Jeffsy is just super well-rounded.
Yeah.
And I'd rather take a trail bike like the Jeffsy and put lighter weight wheels and tires on it.
And just kind of check the boxes.
That makes sense.
Have it be my do-it-all.
Yeah.
What do you guys see for the mill in the future? Just keep growing it, keep growing the community.
Yeah. You know, we're it's funny. I was just talking to, some upper management about that this week where it finally feels like we are in our standard operating temperature,
mm-hmm.
right? Like we were opening and it was brand new and we were, you know, really figuring out the processes and building those connections in the community. And it finally no longer feels brand new. So we can really focus on what's next. And, you know, YT, we're a brand that we love hosting events.
Oh my gosh.
We love sharing good times with the community. So I think that's our next big push is how do we meet people's expectations of mm-hmm. what we've already set. So events and parties is going to be a big one for us.
Well, the last one we went to, the Brett Tippy ride, you know, that was amazing. You know, the way you guys host, the way you're able to show his video and everything like that, and then follow it up with a day ride the next day with him. You know, it's like the turnout for that, you know, seemed well received. You know, there's multiple people up there Friday night watching this thing. Everybody eating pizza provided by y'all, beers provided by y'all. And then Saturday morning, you know, it's like everybody, all the same faces, and a few more showed up, a bunch more really showed up to rip with them. So it's like, it's very cool to see y'all put that together and give people a chance to ride with, you know, professional riders, you know, on his level. You know, it's not like you're riding with like a local pro, like you're riding with one of the guys that did a lot for this sport. So
legend for sure. Yeah. We love Brett Tippy. He's the best.
Dude, I mean, maybe the best energy ever, you know, so infectious, man. If you're not smiling around Brett, you may want to check your heartbeat because you may be dead.
Yeah,
such a nice guy.
No, but it's super cool. We look forward to whatever you guys do in the future, man. We're always stoked to go up, support y'all. Like I said, that just formed naturally, right? You know, it's like we met you. Y'all are very cool. Started going to rides and kind of like how you mentioned earlier, you know, it was like took me to get one. Had to talk Grant into going to ride one. He's now got one. J.O. got one in the mail. So it's like it's working, you know. It's like once you jump on these things and you realize how much it extends your ride, you know, it's like how could you not go do that?
Oh yeah, man. And you know, especially like Mo telling me, you know, how much y'all take care of you know, them,
second
and then,
to none.
Yeah, and like the community and stuff. I told Mo, I said, dude, I didn't even consider another bike. You know, I mean, my son, he better not be listening, but he's up for a new bike right now. And I told Mo this morning, I said, yep, he'll be on a YT, you know, like no question.
Well, the service was, like I said, second to none, and he didn't know me from anything. Same with everybody when I first walked in there, but still, it was always great service. You'd have thought I'd known y'all forever just the way y'all treated me, the way, you know, if I'm ever having any issues, bring that thing through, and I've certainly taken advantage of that. You know, I'll run it through. You guys are putting new tires on for me, adjusting my seat, new fork, new brakes. It's like, man, all these things, these upgrades that y'all are able to help with is just awesome, and that's kind of what you touched on was like it's not over once the bike sale's over. You know, it's like you guys are still here to get into, you know, if I've got an issue or I'm trying to figure this out, more than happy to help. And that's really everybody at that location.
Yeah, we definitely want people to feel welcome and accepted. And there are no dumb questions. Every question is valid.
No.
And like I said, they're teachable moments, especially with the industry, the way that it is right now. There are so many brand new cyclists. And I think it's easy for people to feel embarrassed wanting to get into something. And I have felt that getting into other hobbies, right? I walk into the fishing store and I'm like, I want this thing. It's shiny. It's cool.
Yeah.
And then the guy at the counter goes, that's not what you want. And I'm like, okay, what do I want? And he's like, well, what are you doing? And I'm like, this is, oh my goodness, this is not what I was trying to get into right now.
Yeah, I just want fish on the end of this pole. Yeah. What do I need for that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that's awesome, man. You think long-term you guys will stick around here? You guys loving it? You and the wife?
Oh yeah. We actually just bought a house in Bella Vista. So we're here for the foreseeable future, man. It's been a year now, and there's like a cynical part of me that's waiting for like the, okay, when's it going to wear off?
Yeah.
When am I going to see the suck?
Yeah.
But man, this place is crazy. Like I constantly meet people that I'm just like, this is the most amazing person I've ever met. Like this is the coolest dude. This is the coolest family. And it doesn't stop. So I'm hoping that we continue that trend here.
Well, I think if you survive the summer, that's kind of like the downside of our state is the hot, humid summers, you know? But if you can survive those, man, winter's not bad. Spring's amazing. Fall's amazing.
Yeah, I think, you know, I heard that from so many people and it was such a mellow summer.
Oh my gosh.
And moving out here, everyone's like, oh, you guys are going to do this and that. There wasn't a single triple digit day this summer like this.
Yeah, we got lucky.
We just hang out by the creek and good to go. You know, there's no.
Well, and it's nice to have those things, you know, so many creeks, so much public lands that we have to explore and stuff like that. So it's like we're fortunate in that aspect. You know, the creek you go to, what, probably 10-15 minutes from your house?
Yep,
but it feel like you're 2 hours outside the city.
Yeah, I'm even closer to it now, so super fortunate. Yeah,
you ride that bike down there.
Yeah,
no, don't get bogged down in the mud.
I saw on Grant's Instagram, he, shout out Grizzy Graham, he posted a video with his rig set up at the spot, and I was just thinking, I was like, dude, you didn't even, you're at my spot.
Right? Didn't even invite me.
What the heck, dude?
Yeah, don't be making that public. Don't be sharing that.
More than one beer in that cooler, man.
Well, we've definitely got some spots we need to get you out to. I know we've been threatening to do it. We just need to put it together, put a date on it, and make it happen, you know.
Yeah, get out and go do some wheeling, show you some local camp spots for sure, especially some of those like kind of Arkansas like hidden gems that you don't normally see. So yeah, we definitely need to do that.
And they're the same, you know, they're hidden gems, but they're not just out too far. Your Montero would make it there, no issues, stuff like that.
Absolutely. Well, heck yeah. Well, awesome, guys. Well, yeah, I think this finishes up this episode. Jeff, definitely thank you for coming, dude. And
for all that y'all do, you, the YT team, everybody up there, man, you guys, like I said, just go above and beyond. Thankful for you to take time out of your day, come down here and chit-chat with us, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. We love what you guys are doing, and it's I think we align on many levels with what we're trying to do, especially in the local community. And
yeah.
I think, you know, you ask about what's next. I think we got to get something with Backwoods in the books.
Let's go.
A lot of potential there. Whether it's on the radar or off the books and out in the woods, does not matter. Let's get it done, man.
Absolutely.
Right. We know how to burn the candle at both ends. We can good time through the day and the night. That's for sure.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Well, guys, yeah, check us out at backwoodsadventuremods.com, Instagram's Backwoods Adventure Mods, YouTube is the same. If y'all have any questions, you know, definitely reach out. But, guys, we definitely appreciate it. And, yeah, definitely look forward to seeing or hearing from you on the next one. Thanks.
See ya.
See ya.
Later.